It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us as we continue to kind of do a survey of the book of Romans. We have studied it each verse by verse, and now in kind of closing the book out before we go on to another, why we're just kind of doing what I would call a survey across the book. And we're in the 7th chapter. We're going to begin reading with the 12th verse, chapter 7, verse 12 of the book of Romans. And so please open your Bibles to that area, and we'll begin the study here in a few moments. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address here is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. Like to visit our website, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to send us an email, it could be at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com, whichever you'd like, and we'd love to hear from you. Now it's time to get to the study, and we're going to begin reading here with Romans chapter 7, verse 12. Romans chapter 7, verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, for sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin, by the commandment, might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. For then I do that which I would not. I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. But for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. What a scripture verse to read and to study and to joy. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you that we have the opportunity to come together and to enjoy this time. Please, that you'll just guide and lead us today. I thank you, Father, for all that listen and come together each time that we air this program. And Father, I just thank you that folks are listening to your word. And I ask that they not only listen, but they also respond, that they'll come to you by faith and be saved, be born again. It's so important, dear Lord, that folks come to know you and will walk with you and serve you and praise you. But it comes first, is this sin problem that Paul's talking about here. We need to come by faith to you so that we even have the battle that Paul is having, because now, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, there's no other way of salvation. People talk about how you're going to get to heaven. Well, we're going to get to heaven because we come by faith to Jesus, and Jesus alone. It's not through a church membership. It's not through some work that you can do. It is through faith in Jesus Christ, and that's the only way. So please, don't be confused by some of these other things that are out there that people send you in different directions and they have taken away the power of God. They have, many even say that Jesus is not the only Son of God. He is the only begotten Son of God. He is the only Savior. There is no other way. That's not me. That's not, that is our belief and our doctrine at this church. Yes, that's my belief and my doctrine. Yes, but it isn't mine that I have made up. It is from the Word of God and the Word of God only. And when you find someone that's changed that, they have changed the Word of God. And that is a very, very condemning, damning thing to change the Word of God. So I'm just going to ask you that you listen very carefully to this precious word, Father. Just speak to hearts. Speak to the hearts that they'll listen. They'll listen and they'll hear you're speaking to them. And you'll call them today and they'll respond. Please, Father, touch every heart. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Such a desire to see folks saved. And when we come together and we start with prayer, it's because of the love that our God has for each one of you that you will come and be saved. And so please, that you just listen to that call, I beg you today. The scripture here is a wonderful scripture, and it really gives an insight to Paul's life, and it gives an insight to your life and my life the same. We come up here and we start, wherefore the law is holy, the commandment is holy, just, and good. And yes, it is. The law proves it's perfect. There's nothing wrong with the law. Then why don't we just live by the law? The reason we don't is because we can't. We can't keep the law. And so what happens when the law was presented, when the law was stated clearly, when Moses brought that law forward from the Lord, the purpose wasn't to save anybody. And, even the Israelites said, give us the law and we'll keep it, then we'll be fine. That wasn't the purpose. The purpose is that law will show you who you are, that you're a sinner, lost, condemned, and you're going to hell. That's the purpose of the law. It's to show you your sin, and that's what this is talking about here. The law is holy. The commandments are holy, just and good. There's nothing wrong with them. It's me. I'm the problem. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. Sin. The law didn't condemn me and it didn't kill me. It's a sin that kills me. The law shows me my sin. You need to see the difference of that. So don't think that just because, if you're driving down the road and you're going 75 mile an hour in a 65 mile an hour speed zone, if you just don't see the sign, that doesn't make you legal. You're breaking the law. And that's the way it was before the law. Just because it wasn't stated, wasn't written, you were still condemned. They were condemned before the law came. But God gave us the law so that we could see what laws how guilty we were. I'm going to show you how guilty you are. Not that I want you to attempt to keep them to save yourself. We should try very hard to keep them, yes, but not for salvation, because we can't. And that law that came forward that Paul is talking about here is perfect. It shows us our sin. It shows us who we are. It condemns us, not because of the law being perfect. It condemns us because the law is perfect. It condemns us because we're sinners. It shows us who we are. That's what it does. It shows us who we are. Now, what are we going to do about it? Are we just going to try to keep working, knowing we can't keep it? Many do that. Maybe many churches' doctrines hold that. Many of the religions out there hold that. You work, you serve, and you get this. Well, you work and you serve, and if you reject and neglect Jesus as your personal Savior, you'll get something all right. You'll get a ticket that you already possess to hell. I don't care what you've been taught. That is what the Word of God tells us. And so please, I do beg you that you listen to the Word of God. Sin, that it might appear sin working death in me by that which is good, the sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Showing me, that's exactly what it's saying, the law, those words showed me how guilty I am. Now, do I try to cover it up as Adam and Eve did with the leaves and see if I can get by that way? Well, that didn't work, did it? It has to be God's way. And God gave a picture of of the Lord Jesus coming to the cross some 4,000 years later. He gave Adam and Eve a picture of that. And it represented his son, Jesus, dying on the cross. And so with him dying on the cross and saving them, the shedding of blood, the death of an innocent sacrifice, all those things come forth with those skins that God placed upon Adam and Eve. But you see, as we need to receive the gift of salvation, so did they need to receive the coats of skin. They could have rejected them, but they chose not to. And that was salvation. By faith, they believed. And by faith, we must believe. So, when we look here, once again, Paul asked the question, and he also gives the answer. Question, did that which is good become death to me? The answer was, God forbid. So, it was not the law that put Paul to death. It was sin by means of the law. The law shows us that. The divine intention was that sin would appear sin. In other words, God says, okay, I'm going to show you what is expected. Here is what is perfect. Now, again, not that we can try to keep it. We should, I don't want to confuse you, because we should try. The Lord, after salvation, wants us to live a righteous, holy life. But not to be saved, not for salvation. That comes by and through Jesus Christ as a free gift, but you have to accept the gift. So today, as the Spirit is dealing with you and showing you these truths, please understand, you need Jesus, so ask Him to come into your heart and save you. When the Spirit convicts your heart of your sin, shows you by the law how guilty you are, you need Jesus, so please come. This true color, this sin, it shows us its true color and will be and seen, and it will bring, it works death for men through that which is good. So the law is good. The law is perfect. But for you and for me, it means death. It proves we can't keep it. Paul wants us to fully understand that the letter of the law, the letter killeth, but the spirit maketh alive. Verse 13 here, back in verse 7. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Get a good look at yourself. I had to take a good look at myself, and it was ugly. And I had a choice to make. There wasn't just one choice to make. There was two choices, to stay where I was, to be very religious, serve work hard in the church, trying to pacify and satisfy my God through my work, or recognize that that's never going to happen, and I need help, and that help is Jesus. And so, please, just come to Him. What an awful thing sin is, that by the holy and just law of God, it can bring death to God's creation. Again, the law is perfect. It condemns us, yes, but it's not because of a problem with the law, it's because of sin. Sin that you and I possess, born into. We need to have it taken care of. And so please, look to the Lord Jesus. Verse 14 in chapter 7 of Romans 4, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Paul here has three words. And those three words really kind of describe man. And we're going to kind of, he uses these, not completely in this verse of Scripture, but these are statements that he makes to kind of show who he is, who each one of, who we are. The first is natural, the next is carnal, the next is spiritual. Now, we have some verses of Scripture that we're going to look up here. 1 Corinthians. So we have Acts, Romans, and then right into 1 Corinthians, so it's not very far away, chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Do you see and understand why I continue to ask you to come by faith to Jesus? Because you can't do it on your own. You cannot do it. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So how can we receive the things of God? Only by receiving Jesus as your Savior. When I say there is no other way, I mean it. There is no other way. So please come by faith to Jesus and trust in Him. Now let's look at the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, the first four verses. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am Apollos, are ye not carnal? Now, in reading that, Paul again looks at the natural man. We read that in 1 Corinthians 2:14. And now the carnal man, the saved man. See, the first is the unsaved man, the one that's never born again. You haven't come by faith to Jesus. The second is a saved man who is still living under the bondage of the law, trying to work. You say he's saved. And I know a lot of you folks will have trouble with once saved, always saved, eternal security. Jesus saves you. If you believe that Jesus can save you right now, you come by faith to Him, what part of you don't think He can keep you? My God is capable to save me, and my God is capable of keeping me, and He does. Why we think that we can ask by faith salvation and be saved, and yet we have to work then to keep our salvation? If we can't do anything, and we can't, if we can't do anything to save ourselves as far as works are concerned, what is it that you can do to keep it? Think about that. Think about that. And I know the multitude and majority of religions do not believe, do not teach eternal security. Oh, it's a joy to know I'm saved. It's a joy. And so please that you look after the Lord Jesus. And so, once again, the saved man who has not found deliverance from the power of sin in the fullness of the Spirit. In other words, he continues to live by the flesh. And Paul speaks of that here in these verses of Scripture. It's a constant battle. But we need to spend time in the Word of God. Come into the house of God. Spend time in fellowship with believers in the Lord Jesus. And the third word here is spiritual. Now, let's go, because we have already read that verse of Scripture, and that is chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So, you see, in order for us to be spiritual, is to trust in the Lord Jesus. And if you trust in Jesus, you're not going to be caught up in these things that it spoke of here down in verse 3. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, that only comes either if you're lost, natural man, or carnal, because you are a man that's saved but not serving. You have not surrendered yet. You continue to kind of maybe be around the same people you were around before you got saved. You have not made that decision that I'm going to serve Jesus. I want his blessings. I want his power. And that's what's very important. And so Paul, when he says, I am carnal, back here in this 14th verse, for we know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, this is a man that served and worked, and yet he too continued to have trouble with the flesh, and that's what this is all about. Up to this point, we have been listening to Paul speaking of himself before he was saved, before he's born again. But now the struggle that we're going to speak of here, because these points, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. That's what brought him to salvation. The Lord Jesus, on the road to Damascus, shone that bright light down upon him, and when he saw that, he recognized his sin. His sin, the Spirit of God, the Shekinah glory cloud, shone down upon him. Now, not every one of us are saved in the same manner by any means. Matter of fact, everyone is saved a little bit different, but it's all through the blood and by the blood of Jesus Christ and you accepting him as your Savior. And we must do that. But now Paul is going to get down to the heart of, here's a trouble I have as a believer. The struggle is about but now the struggle he is talking about is not about the man trying to save himself, as I said, but as a man that is saved, trying to live right. It's a conflict between the old nature and the new nature. They're living together in your body. You got saved, you got a new heart, but you still got the old flesh. And that old devil is going to work his talents to deceive you and trick you into thinking that you still have to work your way to heaven, or that you just don't want to surrender those old things that really are very, very harmful to you, and yet you continue to walk down that path. The new nature, you're born again, cannot sin. The old nature can do nothing but sin. You see where the battle's at. You know, well, why do I want to get saved? Because you want to have the joy and the peace and the comfort of walking with Jesus on this earth, and then the benefit of spending eternity with him in his home in heaven. What a wonderful opportunity. oh, it is worth any struggle that you have. But there is a struggle. There is a battle. Some preachers teach and preach that once you're saved, you're born again, all the troubles are gone. Oh, no, my friend, I'm not going to lie to you in any way, shape, or form, but I'm telling you it's worth it. It's worth to serve the Lord Jesus and to walk with the Lord Jesus. The battle's on. Please hold to the Bible, the truth. Understand that salvation is by grace, pure grace, only grace, minus any works, minus any keeping of the law. And we have that opportunity all because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus. We kind of get into a couple of things here that Paul describes his life. And it's, you know, the Apostle Paul, oh, he can't have any trouble with sin. Well, let's just listen to what he had to say here. It's even, you know, kind of a tongue twister as we go through these. Verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. I don't want to do what I do. For what I would, that I do not. I don't get done what I want to do. But what I hate, that's what I do. Now, if you're a Christian and you're listening, you can appreciate these words. Because things that you want to do, it doesn't seem like that you accomplish them. And things that you don't want to do, that's the things that you do. Why? Look at verse 16. For then I do that which I would not. I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but it's the sin that dwells in me. So you have the old nature and the new nature. One contending against the other. Two eyes, you could say. One, the old nature. The other, your new nature. You're born again. And here would maybe help you, because what we're really looking at here is Saul of Tarsus is in conflict with Paul the Apostle. Because the old man, Saul, and of course if you're familiar with the scripture, you'll realize that God changed Saul's name to Paul. And so when I say Saul of Tarsus, that's the old man. That's who he used to be. And now he is Paul the Apostle. But those two are in constant conflict with each other. You know why? Because they both live in the same body. I have the same conflict. I'm born again. I have a new nature. I've got a new heart. And yet I still fight with the flesh, the inner man, my new heart, or the flesh, the outer man. Literally, there is warfare between the Spirit of God and the flesh. That 15th verse has a word in here. For that which I do, I allow not. Allow. The word allow is to know by experience, to understand the very thing Paul wants to do. He wants to do good. This he does not do. But he does that which he hates. That's what he does. Paul is saved because no unsaved man hates sin. You may be upset with yourself for something that happened or you did or you got caught, but the natural man does not hate sin. He lives in sin. His God is the devil. That's your life if you don't know Jesus. But Paul here has a fight going on. And so that's proof that he is born again, that he's saved. And you will face the same. But our God is the victor, so don't get depressed. Don't get taken down by that fight. Just fight. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?